Okay, I'm going to talk about Napoleon today. It was about maybe 10 years ago, before the French Open, the tennis tournament that BNP puts on every late spring. They took one of the American players, a female player, on a quick limousine tour of Paris for a full day. At the end, a French host asked her, "What did you like best about the tour of Paris?" She said, "The best thing was the tomb of the little dead dude. I couldn't make that out." Napoleon continues to fascinate, though not necessarily me. Still, he raises a couple of interesting questions. First of all, what remained Corsican about Napoleon? Then maybe discuss a question raised by David Bell of late. Was the revolutionary period, and particularly Napoleon, the first total war, in the sense that 20th century folks, and at least you were born in the 20th century, have come to understand? In the end, not ramble a bit, but just talk about what the most important contributions of Napoleon were. Somebody counted up, not me, that by 1980 there had been at least 220,000 books and articles published on Napoleon in a variety of languages. Three recent books, if you're Napoleon buffs or simply want to read about him, that are quite good in English, are my old friend Steve Englund's book, Napoleon, A Political History, which came out 3 or 4 years ago and was recently translated into French. Philip Dwyer's book on Napoleon, up to 1799, Philip Dwyer Hates Napoleon, but it's a pretty interesting book at the early career. Finally, I suppose most controversially, David Bell's book, The First Total War, which I'll discuss some of the themes in a while. It was only about 6 or 7 years ago, I remember this, they discovered in Lithuania a whole bunch of dead bones. Well, bones are dead, I guess, if they've been there for 200 years or whatever. But not of a gravesite, because they were never properly buried, but a place where expired in the snows of 1812 a good number of soldiers of Napoleon's Grand Army, the Grand Army, and so 1812 still goes on. There is a book, also an interesting book if you're looking for paper topics, that I sometimes assign in the French course called Diary of a Napoleonic Foot Soldier. By the time of 1812, the majority of the Grand Army were really people who had been conscripted or impounded, if you will, in various Allied states. But it's a quite interesting account of what it was like in Napoleon's armies as he invaded further and further into Eastern Europe. I talk a lot about Napoleon's life in the textbook, but let's look at the theme of Napoleon and Corsica. He wrote in a letter to the Corsican patriot with whom he subsequently broke, Paoli, he wrote on the 12th of June, 1789, "I was born when the French were vomited upon our coasts, that is the coast of Corsica, drowning in the throne of liberty and torrents of blood. Such was the odious spectacle that first met my eyes. The cries of the dying, the groans of the oppressed, tears of despair surrounded my cradle at my birth." Corsica, as I'm sure you know, is an island, a big island. It's north of Sardinia, which belongs to Italy. He at first glorified in his Corsican origins, hating the French who had conquered his island. Of course, the French Revolution would change all that. That's why it's a good idea to look at him, as you look at Robespierre and others, and see what difference the French Revolution made. Between 1785 and here, I'm drawing on Dwyer, and 1795, that it's between the age of 16 and 26 he wrote a number of notes and sketches and short stories that reveal much about his attachment to Corsica, but also that suggests the dramatic nature of the change as he embraces the revolution of France.